The Lord be with you. Well, unfortunately, I have some very bad news to tell you all this morning. I don't know if you heard this, but you're all adopted. It's true because I read it in the Bible. But I'm also adopted. I didn't think so, but I guess I must be, right? Because if it's in the Bible, it's got to be true. So, because Jesus died and rose again, every single one of us in this room is adopted into God's family. I mean, it's so certain that God doesn't even really have a chance to turn us down, which is probably good. But here's the other side of that coin. Even if God could turn us down, God wouldn't turn us down. None of us. Because God loves us too much to do that. Right? God is happy to accept us. God wants us in the family. The whole reason that God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to atone for our bad choices is so that all would be clear, so that we could be adopted into God's family. God's love is just too big to keep bottled up in that Holy Trinity. It's got to come out, and we got to be included in it. That's quite love. Well, in our passage this morning from John's first letter to the church, John reminds us that God lavished his love on us. I love that word, lavished, because it sounds kind of messy, right? Like, it brings to mind like an overflowing abundance. Like, you put too much batter in the pan and it's just coming out all over the place. You know, God really does love us in a way that maybe a perfect parent would love a child. God's love for us is over the top. It's just over the top of the mountains. It's huge. But there is a problem with that. Even though we know that to be true, the problem is that some people that are outside right now, actually, they don't know that God is waiting for them to come to the adoption. Can you believe that? That's why God needs us to testify to others. Jesus ascended into heaven, right? We read this in the scriptures, and he's coming back at the end of the age. So until then, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I, and everyone else who believes in Christ, we are the hands and feet of Jesus on this earth, right? In Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church, he writes in verse 12 and 27, he says, "All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it." So, whatever God's planning on this earth, we get to be a part of that. It's all part of God's grand design. See, God wants us, God's beloved children, to witness to others. God is ready to adopt them into the eternal family, but I suppose God just wants us to go tell them. Now, I know that God is powerful enough that God could probably take care of this task on his own. But God includes human instruments in God's salvation plan. And God does this because it gives all of God's children a meaningful and a glorious place in eternity. It gives us a role to play in this awesome plan that God has for this world. Now, we are included in the plan, and we are the hands and feet of Jesus. But we're not alone, thank goodness. See, God gives us the Holy Spirit, God gives us the scriptures, and God gives us the church to help us to pass along the witness to the resurrected Lord as we go about our lives. Now, it's both easy and difficult to witness to the great love that God has given us in Jesus Christ. I mean, it's easy to talk about God's love. That much is true. I mean, a ton of the preaching that I've heard in my life is all about how much God loves you and I. The difficulty is that we say we believe these things, but sometimes we don't act like through Jesus all of us are children of God. Sometimes we don't show with our actions that we actually believe what we're saying. Now, today's scripture passage from the Gospel of Luke and John's first letter to the church both affirm how important our witness to the resurrected Lord is in our lives. They also talk about how our witness is composed of both words and deeds, both things. See, the Luke passage ends with Jesus speaking these words, "You are witnesses of these things." That's as much a command as it is a statement. And the 1 John passage ends with John writing, "Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is righteous, just as he is righteous, is righteous." So Jesus explains that the one who's a believer in Christ has certain ethical and moral obligations that they try to meet in their life because of God's love. So now we're back to that great love again, and that's really the key connection and the key part of our witness to Christ. And really, I believe that God's love needs to be the foundation or the basis for a meaningful witness to Christ. So last week, we began preaching through John's first letter, and I spoke about the witness that we have to the resurrected Lord that's been transmitted down through Scripture and through the church over the ages. And I talked about the fact that we are charged to pass that witness along. I suggested and invited all of you that were with me to try to sit down and come up with a list of things that you might want to put on a list that proves that your life, you made choices in your life to live for Jesus Christ. Having just come from my grandmother's funeral, I suggested that the funeral service really is kind of a last chance for us, right after we die, to testify to our belief in the risen Lord. I suggested that our own witness might be more convincing if we went through the practice of writing our own funeral speech. Even though that might sound a little bit strange, I think it's a good exercise because of two reasons. The first is that it might inspire us at whatever stage of life we're in to have a more believable witness in both word and deed to the risen Lord. Now, the second is because I was hoping it would help us to see concrete ways in our lives that God has really lavished love upon us. So I actually did my homework. I was a good person this week and did my homework. And so I will share a couple of the things that I wrote on my list with you. Now, I'm not trying to put myself up on a pedestal here, even though I am on one. I'm not trying to do that. I'm really trying to testify to the glory of God and just to kind of maybe provide some kind of an example for this exercise that I think could work for any one of us. So one thing I'm going to leave off the list is becoming a preacher, because you don't need to be a preacher to live your life as a witness to Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen on that? Okay, that's important. So here are some things I put on my list. I converted from Judaism to Christianity. I've been a generous giver, and after a very hard struggle that lasted over a decade, I finally exceeded the minimum biblical giving suggestion of 10%. I've sold my house and given up careers to try to serve God and to serve the world. I've spent countless volunteer hours with youth and adults teaching and learning about Jesus. I've spent countless hours out in the community doing volunteer projects to try to meet the needs of the community. Before I was ordained, I served in various committees of the churches that I attended. And I share the good news of Jesus Christ with most people that I meet and get to know. So those are some of the things that I came up with that I would put on my list of things that would prove that I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. So somehow, I would like somebody at my funeral to explain that I made these life choices because I believe in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not the only thing that I want that my funeral speech to do, because I don't think that's enough. I don't want someone to simply get up and say, well, Aaron did these things because he believed in Jesus, the risen Lord, and then that'd be it. That's not going to do it for me. See, yeah, the choices that I have made that I highlighted can prove my belief in the risen Lord. But in order to have a convincing witness to others, I think others need to know why I made those choices. Why do I believe in the risen Lord? And that is because of the great love that God has shown me in my life. I mean, God gave that love freely to me, and that is the source, the foundation of my faith. But that's, I suspect, something that if you're participating in this exercise, you might also want to share in your funeral speech. To be a convincing witness to Christ, you want people to know why your motivations led you to have faith and to make these choices. Because really, some people don't care how much you believe or what you believe. They just don't care. But I do think that many people will respond to love. That's because I think everyone looks in a tangible way in their lives for some love that they can hold on to. Even hardened atheists crave love. So this is where the passage from John's first letter is helpful to us. It gives us some answers to this question. Why bother to work hard and make choices in life to follow the risen Lord? Why bother? The answer is, or the short answer is, because God lavished love upon us beyond our wildest dreams in our life. I mean, God sent Jesus to earth to make sure that we are all made members of God's own family. This transformation begins from the first moment that you accept that Jesus really is the risen Lord to the day that Jesus returns. And as we read in 1 John, we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and all who have this hope purify themselves just as he is pure. See, because Jesus came and died and rose again for us, it's proof that God loves us enough to perfect us. And that hope of living in perfection together with God and others forever, well, that simple fact is enough motivation for us to want to purify ourselves just as he is pure. It's a powerful motivation. It's the love that motivates the obedience and the life choices that prove we believe in Jesus. Because if people think for some reason that we're trying to earn God's love by just checking off a list of all these great works that we do and deeds, our witness might not be very strong. Because people might think, well, that's too hard to earn God's love, you know? And they might despair and they might just give up. Now, if people think that the only reason that we want to be pure and make life choices that are pure is because we are terrified of God squashing us like little bugs, and so we have to fly right, I don't think that will make our witness very strong either, because people might be turned off by a God who seems to rule by fear and coercion. Or people might think, hey, you know, those people that believe, they're just simple folk who don't know any better but to be afraid of God. So they might not take that witness seriously. When we present a witness to the risen Lord, we must explain that our desire to be righteous, to live for Jesus, comes from the deep love that we have experienced from God in our lives. And sometimes it can be hard to describe this love. I know, it sometimes is for me to to tell people about this, it doesn't seem to make sense. Especially for others who don't know it yet, it doesn't make sense. And so it can be difficult to pinpoint clear ways that we can communicate God's love or how we've experienced it to others. So to get us thinking, I have a couple examples of how some people might have experienced the love of God in their lives. Okay, first, God's love might be a warm feeling, right? God may have made you feel significant or important because he chose you to be God's special creation. Perhaps you may have had a less than ideal family situation, and your mother and father didn't always make you feel loved, right? God's love for you may have turned you around by causing you to feel deeply loved, like you had always hoped your friends and family might make you feel. Perhaps you felt this love and acceptance from your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, God's love can also be for some an overwhelming feeling. Sometimes it's hard to take in the sheer magnitude of how much God has sacrificed and loved us. God's great and awesome deeds in your life might inspire you and might inspire your own deeds. This is also a form of feeling love. Even though it may seem to be less emotional than what I just said, it really isn't, because you appreciate what God has done for you, all the things that you have, that you've been given from God, and you're not just going to kind of accept that and be okay with that. No, you want to pay it forward. Now, these are just two ways that you might experience God's love in your life. But however you experience God's love, the things you do for Jesus' sake are motivated by that love. Because God first loved you. Trust me, even if you might think that you don't feel it at the moment, if you explore the many ways that God has loved you in your life, I believe you will begin to see that God's love is a very real driving force behind what you do. And if not, uncovering all the ways that God has loved you throughout your life may actually begin to give you this feeling and this motivation to make hard choices, to be pure like Christ is pure. It's not easy. See, when we present ourselves as a witness to the risen Lord, we must explain that our desire to be righteous and to live for Jesus comes from that deep love that we feel that God has for us. And so the second part of creating a really believable witness in our funeral speech is to make another list. Sorry about that, but there's more homework. This time, the list is going to be a list of the ways that you have concretely felt God's love in your life, or that God has actually loved you. If you can sit down, just take a few minutes over the next week or so, maybe 2 weeks actually, you get extra time for this homework assignment. Just sit down and think about, okay, how do I see God's love looking back in my life? Where was God loving me? Maybe you didn't feel it then, but sometimes looking back, you can see better. So I'm going to do this as well. You're not alone. Now, next week, we are going to have a special treat. We're going to have the Gideons come, and they're going to share for the sermon time testimonies of how people's lives have been really impacted and changed by the love of God that they discovered in the Scriptures. But the week after that, I'm going to take this list, the one I just talked about, and I'm going to talk about how we can turn that list with the other list together into a funeral speech that really gives a believable witness to the risen Lord. And then I'm going to share my funeral speech as it might be, as an example. So my hope is that by going through all of these exercises together, I really hope we can increase our witness to the risen Lord, to Jesus Christ in our life. And also, I hope that we can learn some real practical ways that we can pass it on to others. Because remember, the words of Jesus from our gospel passage today. You are witnesses of these things. Amen.